Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
I should be hearing this song played live in about 5 hours. And yes, I am one of those guys who looks at the set list before the show.
Nerd.
I know.
Thanks, show me a code.
I ruin it. Shinedown tonight out at Sandstone. I'll see you there. We'll get into Salvador Perez and the ball that will not be returned in just a moment, but very quickly from Fox News. Vera Wang says there's nothing wrong with black wedding dresses, and a growing number of brides seem to feel the same way. The 72-year-old bridal wear designer spoke with Harper's Bazaar about her use of the dark shade in past collections, including her notable fall 2012 and spring 2019 collections. Quoting here from Wang, a lot of people were shocked. They said it was depressing to have brides in black. I say, not at all. It's sexy. Then, of course, a lot of brides have embraced it, end quote. Brides have embraced the color black. The trend has even made an impact on Main Street, with mass market retailers and boutique designers embracing black wedding dresses.
Okay. All right.
Now this story.
Until your grandma sees it.
That's exactly right.
What the hell's that?
You worship the devil?
Salvador Perez, as everyone knows, hit his 46th home run of the season Monday afternoon, the most in a single campaign from a catcher. The 31-year-old past Hall of Famer Johnny Bench. As astonishing as it is for Salvador Perez to be doing this, I hate this next part, at such an advanced age, he's only 31.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what they wrote.
Wow.
As astonishing as it is for Perez to be doing this at such an advanced age, he's 31, it is even more surprising that the fan who caught it in Cleveland is holding the ball hostage. Yes, you heard me right, the author says. Perez cannot have his historic home run ball, at least for now. He is going to have to pay for it fair and square.
No.
Yes. Perez trailed Shohei Ohtani for the home run lead by 12 at the All-Star break, but has caught up in rapid pace ever since. So Salvador Perez took over for the record,
right,
for the most home runs in a season by a catcher, beating out Johnny Bench from back in the 70s or early 80s, whenever that record
was. So that record was set decades ago.
Oh, at least 40 years ago.
Okay.
I did love Johnny Bench's response. I knew my record would stand until it was broken.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what records do.
Thank you, Yogi Berra.
Did he die of death?
That's my line.
Now, wait. So he hits the ball, because we watched this unfold with the really expensive balls, like
phrasing.
During the home run race several years ago. Remember when it was going to be the home run record?
Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
With McGwire and Sosa, right. You remember people were, you know, knocking down their own grandmother to get to those balls. Because presumably, if you caught the ball, it would be worth something, right?
That was before we suspected but didn't know for sure that they were all juiced up.
Right, and that was historic. Did everyone in the audience on the opposing team know that this was historic Kansas City?
Sure. Well, for Major League Baseball. I mean, most home runs in a season by a catcher.
Okay.
Whit Merrifield was on our sister station, 610 Sports, talking about the home run.
Salvador Perez got his 46th home run last night. The story out of there from Lynn Worthy, the star, was the fan wouldn't give up the ball. Did Salvador Perez or some of the Royals tell you what he's asking for? Because I'm surprised that a deal couldn't be struck.
A lot of guys were quite upset in the locker room afterwards when we heard what was going on. So, I mean, our guys went out there and tried to talk to the guy. Apparently the guy was abrasive and swearing at our guys and just telling them, like, we know what this ball's worth. We know how much Salvi's contract is and this. And our guy was like, look, if we don't sticker the ball, it is worth nothing to anybody. And the guy said, well, I took a picture of you guys with me, so that verifies the ball and all this stuff. And he goes, no, you still need the sticker, bud. And the guy just wouldn't do it. And so finally he said, all right. And just one of those guys that likes to be difficult and for no reason. They were offering all sorts of stuff, signed jerseys, signed bats, signed balls, signed cleats, signed gloves, throwing everything at him. He was being a word that I would like to say, but I'm not going to on the radio. We actually tried to run out there, because I know where he was sitting, and tried to run out there in between doubleheaders and find him, and he had left. So I was...
Wow.
We were all seeing red in there that guy wouldn't give up that ball.
They were offering him signed baseball bats, signed baseballs, signed cleats.
Jerseys?
Signed jersey.
The jersey in and of itself is like $120.
He would not give up the baseball, and he would not allow them to sticker it.
Which makes it worthless.
So even now, let's say he decides, okay, come to my house and take the ball. Prove to me we didn't swap it out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no recovering this.
No.
Even if he did the right thing, woke up today and thought, you know what? I kind of sound like the world's biggest jerk. You're right. I'll mail you the ball. It's still worth nothing because they didn't sticker it.
Prove that was the baseball that he hit.
Right. Because if he's that big of a jerk, I don't know that I would trust him to not swap out the ball.
As Witt said, I mean, it's not worth anything without the sticker. So if you refuse to give it to us to put the sticker on, you just have any old baseball.
Then why not give it up?
But keep in mind, there is still some baseball to be played. So the next home run, assuming there is another one, that becomes the record ball.
But does it? Wasn't this was the ball, ball?
This was the ball that broke the record. But every home run he hits this season after that becomes the record-setting ball.
Becomes the new record.
Right.
How many games are left?
God, I don't know. Not a lot.
Okay, but answer me this. How many people listening, if you caught that, even the biggest baseball fan out there, if you caught that ball.
Still wanted to sticker it.
And you have people from the team coming to you and saying, please, can we sticker that? Let's work out something. Wouldn't like 98% of us go, oh my gosh, yes. Can I just maybe have a picture with Salvi?
They're offering you a signed jersey.
I don't understand why you would take away something that has no value to you now that has so much value to somebody else. That's what he's done. He has taken something that is worth nothing to him. Literally, it's worth nothing. And taken away something that is worth so much to somebody else. That is the very definition of jerk face McJerk jerk.
Well, that's proof that he was just doing it to be a jerk, because they were telling him in the situation, like, hey, man, it's not going to be worth anything if you don't.
But I'm telling you, Sam, even if I was at some other game in some other city and it was some baseball that was the ball worth whatever.
Right.
I'm not even saying this is the Royals. Let's say I'm in Chicago. I would hand the ball over.
Should they be allowed to keep?
What are you going to do with it?
Should they be allowed to keep the baseballs anyway? Because you're not allowed to keep soccer balls. You're not allowed to keep football.
Is that true?
Games.
Is that true?
No, you have to throw them back.
What if you don't?
They'll come get it.
They will. Yeah, they will come find the ball and take it from.
They will come.
Well, baseball's obviously different.
They're cheaper. They fly into the.
Right.
And after they've been used, you don't re. I mean, you can kick a soccer ball 5,000 times and keep kicking it.
Okay.
After a while, a batter's going to say, or a pitcher's going to say, I don't want that baseball. It's been thrown all over the field.
This is the analogy of the little kid taking his basketball and going home.
Yes.
No one else is going to reap the benefit here. I'm just going home. And I'm trying to come up with another analogy where someone would take something that means nothing to them, is worth nothing. You know, like someone steals your grandmother's quilt that she made, or her ashes, or something awful that is worth so much to you but meaningless to someone that isn't in your family.
Text line is split, surprisingly enough, from 4147, but he, the fan, this is in regards to it, the ball not being stickered by the team or by Major League Baseball, but he, the fan, knows it's the ball. He knows it. He knows that he holds the ball that's okay, out, that broke
so,
the record.
So you're going to invite people over in another city who don't care and go, hey, look what I got.
From 5842, this fan is under no obligation to give it up. That's true.
That is true. I'm not saying he's obligated. I'm saying morally, wouldn't most of us hand it over?
From 3107, Dana, if you're a real baseball fan, you give it up with no questions. And I would agree with that. 576-7798.
Jerk!
576-7798.
Enjoy your meth.
We'll get to more of your calls, your comments coming up here in just a moment on Dana and Parks.
I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now.
Alright, welcome back. Hey, don't forget, every Friday at 5 o'clock, we do Festivus Friday. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. Some breaking news. The coroner has confirmed that the body found in Wyoming is indeed that of 22-year-old Gabby Petito, and the cause of death listed by the coroner is homicide. She's the 22-year-old who went on a cross-country trip with her fiancé/boyfriend, Brian Laundry, who remains missing. Thank you, Dana, for the proper word. And the coroner has confirmed that the body found yesterday is indeed that of Gabby Petito.
All right. Speaking of jerk, I cannot get over this story, but you are right, Scott. I thought everyone listening would be like, give the ball back. That's just not the case.
No, it's not. And these balls, by the way, depending on who hit it, when it was hit, the importance of it, this is a story from 1998. From San Francisco, the San Francisco Chronicle. And everybody remembers the home run race that was going on between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. A veterinary student who caught Mark McGwire's 68th home run ball Saturday, keep in mind this is from September of 98, is hoping it might help pay off $100,000 in college debt.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Wiseman, back in 1998, a 25-year-old from Ames, Iowa, in his eighth year of studies at Iowa State, he was in town for a bachelor party, and he and a group of friends said they planned to exploit the ball. That's reality for me, said Wiseman. I have to think about it. Wiseman wants number 68 to be the final ball, which would increase its worth. It was not, by the way.
It was not. Okay, yeah. So you mentioned he was in town for a bachelor party. He was in town for a buddy's bachelor party, one of my friends, Scott. And I just got this text. One of my best friends caught Mark McGwire's 68th home run ball. At the time, It was a standing offer for $1 million for the last home run that season. It turns out that McGuire hit two more the following day in the last game of the year. However, my buddy still got tens of thousands of dollars at auction, and there was an all-out brawl for that ball. One of my other buddies got carried out on a stretcher with a concussion.
Wow.
But that's different. I'm sorry, the McGuire ball is different than what we're talking about here.
Let's go to Brett in Smithville. Brett, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank
you. I got a real quick story. My kid, at the time, he was single digits. We caught Brian McRae's ball back in the day.
Okay.
Brian McRae was just standing there by the railing, like, could have easily. I had the marker ready. I'm like, you know, Brian, my kid just caught your foul ball. He wouldn't even look at us. And then later, I find out, I'm not the hugest sports fan anymore in my old age. I've gotten a little bitter after all the strikes and everything else. But I find out these guys get like $150 a pop for their autograph, if they're anybody. You know, you reap what you sow. The bottom line is, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, hey, we're not going to give you the sticker unless you give us the ball and take something in return. And then they got the ball back, and this guy's possibly shafted out. We don't know what it's really worth. I mean, it broke Johnny Bench's record. I mean, what
sure.
is that, 1,000, 2,000? It's more than a jersey.
Yeah, but isn't it true that it's now worth nothing, Brett, without the sticker on it?
Well, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if they shafted the guy. I mean, they're all about the almighty dollar. They, you know, they're the kind of people that ignore kids in stands, get in trouble with the law, everything else. I don't admire these guys anymore.
Wow.
Sorry.
I'm sorry you had a bad experience, Brett, but I'm telling you, I think recently, certainly with the Royal squad and certainly the Chiefs squad, I can't agree with much of what he just said. I think they bend over backwards to do things in the community.
And you will catch the irony, Brett, with respect, that you're railing against these about the these players regarding the almighty dollar and the teams about the almighty dollar while holding out for the almighty dollar. We would all do it. But, Brett, obviously you've had some bad experiences. I can appreciate that. That's fine. Do appreciate it. Quick break for the news. Then we'll get to more of your calls and your comments here on Dana and Parks.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Of a text line that's just writing in, they would know because they could check the baseball serial number, of which I was unfamiliar. So I looked it up. Do baseballs have serial numbers? They do.
Okay.
But they're not like you would think of on money, per se, or on a VIN on your car.
Right.
Employees, the people who stitch the authentic baseballs used in Major League Baseball games.
Okay.
The employees have a serial number. And when they are done stitching the ball, they stamp the ball with their serial number in invisible ink.
Okay, so then why do you need the sticker to prove it's the real ball?
Because there would be any number of balls with the same serial number on it.
Got it.
The serial number goes back to the employee who stitched it.
Got it.
Not to...
So you could narrow it down, but you're never going to prove, like, in front of a judge, you're not going to prove that's the ball.
And you have to keep in mind that these balls are just tossed back and forth between, you know, the ball boy and the umpire and the pitcher and everything. And I'm imagining they don't get their little special scanner out to check between every pitch which serial number are we using. You heard us talking just a moment ago. Of course, we're talking about Salvador Perez broke Johnny Bench's record last night, most home runs in a season by a catcher, 46. That record was broken in Cleveland, and the jerk McJerkface in the stands who caught home run number 46 is refusing to give the ball back. In fact, Whit Merrifield was on 610 Sports earlier today, and he said that the fan was vulgar in his refusal to hand over the ball.
I'm not just not giving it back, but screw but, you, I'm not giving it back.
You can go blank yourself. However, earlier we were talking about, we read you the story from the San Francisco Chronicle about a guy from Iowa named Heath Wiseman, who, when he was 24 years old, was in St. Louis on a bachelor party and went to the game and caught Mark McGwire's 68th home run. Sadly, Mark McGwire hit two more home runs the next day. We tracked down Heath Wiseman, and he joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Hello, Heath.
Hey, Heath.
Hi.
And no, per our previous off-air conversation, this is not a prank. You are on the air.
So,
and I don't know. I heard your lead up there. I'm not sure I want to continue this call.
Well,
I was a jerk about it.
It's a long story, Heath. Ask Dale about it later. But one of the questions we have, because your ball could have been worth $1 million, and then the next day, McGwire hit two more, which of course knocked down the price of the ball that you caught.
70 sold for 3.1.
Not that you'd be retired
like,
by now.
That's like having all of the Powerball numbers, but you miss like the Powerball.
Exactly.
How did they determine or authenticate your ball? Obviously, you know, there is a huge difference between the home run record and what Salvador Perez did, not to minimize what Salvador Perez did last night in Cleveland. But how did anybody who caught 68, 69, or 70 from Mark McGwire was going to keep it? Because there's too much money involved.
Right.
How did they authenticate your ball?
So they shuffled me and the ball to a back room right after I caught it and the dog pile was uncovered. And they put the ball underneath a black light, and it had a series of dots that fluoresced on it.
Oh.
Black light. It wasn't a serial number like I heard you guys talking about. It was just a specific series of dots, and they went, yep, that's the ball. And my understanding, too, is that they had just a specific set of balls for when McGwire came up to bat, too.
Oh, okay. Got it. And this is fascinating, Heath. So that's how they tracked it. Tell us about the catch, just because I'm curious. I mean, I heard there was a dog pile. There was a concussion.
Yeah, somebody did get a concussion. It wasn't me. So, first of all, we were in a group of 30 guys that went to the bachelor party for the last three games of the series. And I was the only one out of 30 guys that brought a baseball glove. And they gave me crap like crazy walking over Friday night for the first game, saying, what do you think you're going to do, catch a home run ball? I said, I don't know, maybe. We were in the left center field bleachers for all three games. So anyway, I'm sitting right in the middle of the 30 guys, and it was a line drive. I'm left-handed, so my glove was on my right hand. It was a line drive right over my right shoulder. I didn't have to move a bit. Hit my glove, and then if you saw the videos from it, it was like the stadium caved in. People were diving from 10 rows up. And so within a couple of minutes, there were three security guys that came down and literally lifted me up off my feet and carried me out of there, put me on a golf cart, and we were gone.
Now, how much did you end up selling that ball for?
$50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, I had an agent that contacted me, and I don't remember the guy's name. It's been long ago enough, but it was sold through Guernsey's Auction House with a bunch of the other balls.
Yeah.
It was done at Madison Square Garden, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of eBay, actually. They had a live online portion of this auction as well through eBay.
I have so many questions, Seth. First, when you heard the crack of the bat, did you know, oh my gosh, that's coming right for me?
Yeah, so I played center field until back in South Dakota until I was 25 years old.
Oh, got it.
During summer amateur baseball and through growing up and little leagues and that. So we were in left center field, and it was like I was standing under a lazy fly ball, but it was more of a line drive. I just watched it come right to me, and as it got close, I lifted the glove over my right shoulder, and it went in, and then I went down, and the pylon came. I did. When I was at the bottom of the pile, I mean, I was 99% sure I'd caught the thing. But as I'm laying on the bottom of all these people, I did just take a quick little peek inside my glove and confirm that it was in there.
Unbelievable.
Now, at the time, and for about 24 hours, you held the record home run ball. And this is huge in sports, specifically baseball. They get you out of the stands, take you, you know, underneath the stadium, and they verify that, yes, this is the ball. At any point, did someone from the Cardinals or from Mark McGwire's camp come to you and say, he wants this ball?
I think there was an offer made, I was also invited to go sit up in the booth with Jack Buck.
Wow.
I had heard he just tore somebody apart previously, like the week or two before that, for not giving a ball back. So I declined that offer.
Yeah, I'll pass.
At any point, Heath, were you fearful? Like, once all those security guards came, were you like, oh my God, I caught the ball now? Like, were you, I don't want to say afraid, but that's kind of a getting whisked away by security.
Well, that part wasn't scary, but I did have some stupid little paranoia with it. Like, I was so afraid to be holding that ball. I begged the Cardinals to keep the ball overnight. They didn't want to keep it. But they kept it because we stayed for the Sunday game then. And afterwards, went down and I got it. And then Dale's dad actually carried the ball out of the stadium for me. And I carried some dummy fake ball. Again,
really?
I was paranoid.
Yeah.
And then, so I was going to veterinary school at Iowa State. I don't know, that's probably a six-hour drive or so. And so I got back into town late into Ames, really late, like after midnight on Sunday night. And I snuck into a buddy's house. They were all asleep. I went down in his basement, and I hid the ball in his basement, him not knowing.
Wow.
This is fantastic.
Now, like I mentioned, for about 24 hours, you held the ball that held the record for the most home runs ever hit in a season. Can you describe the emotion, the feeling that you had in your gut as you watched number 69 just sail right out of a ballpark?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Dan Patrick on SportsCenter did that highlight, and he even said, take that, Heath Wiseman.
Did he really?
Yes.
But at the time, Heath, I mean, all kidding aside, you know, you are a college student trying to pay off your college debt. This is still a great story. You got some money out of it. You'll tell your grandkids about this story. What a great idea for a bachelor party with a fantastic ending that no one will forget.
Yeah, we'll have to get. I've got to give it up to Grant Yonke, who is the best man, and he had the foresight a couple of months in advance to see what was happening, and it was really a choice between going to St. Louis for McGuire or going to Chicago for Sosa, and he picked the right place.
Wow.
A couple of months in advance.
Now that we're 23 years past that date, have you ever looked back and wished you hadn't sold it?
No. I mean, that thing can't be worth $50 right now.
Yeah, but to you, the sentimental value of knowing that you held that ball.
Oh, I've still got all the memories.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
I
don't need the ball.
I love it.
Well, Heath, do appreciate you joining us on the air, and this was not a prank, and this is all real, and you can check us on the podcast if you don't believe it.
All right. Everything seems pretty legitimate now.
Okay.
Hey, as legit as that ball you caught, Heath, I promise you that, my friend, and thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks for talking.
All right. That is Heath Wiseman, who in September of 1998 caught Mark McGuire's 68th home run, as we talk about Salvador Perez hitting 46 last night. Sadly for Heath, there were two more that still had to be hit out of the park that season, and so his ball, number 68, did not hold the record.
What a great story, though.
Yeah, $50,000 and a great memory. I mean,
unbelievable.
That's awesome.
$50,000 is $50,000.
That's right.
All right, quick break. 576-7798. She's Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Thanks to Heath Wiseman. He was fun. Kind of fun to talk to. And it is true, when I called him off the air, Danny gave me the number and said, just reach out to him. And I explained who I was and that we wanted to put him on the air. And his first words were, is this a prank? I said, no. It's real. So we appreciate him jumping on. It was a pleasure to talk to him and a fun story. We'll wrap up our conversation with Mindy in Kansas City, who's been extremely patient. Hello, Mindy.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
I love Salvador Perez, and I find it hard to believe that someone like Salvi, like your previous two callers, you know, that said the guys are just out for the money and whatnot, I find it hard to believe that Salvador Perez would really be that way. And this fan that kept the ball, to me, is like, the old man, you know, the kids playing baseball in the backyard, and they hit it over the fence.
Yes.
And the old man keeps it and, you know, never gives the ball back. That's what this reminds me of. It's just, you know, cruelty, evil, call it what it is. But I can't believe somebody would do that.
Well, I don't know a lot about being a kid asking baseball players for autographs, but I have been to enough games and seen them interacting with the kids, you know, on the first base line or on the third base line. And I've been impressed.
Me too.
With the way that the players, at least in this town, behave. Now, everybody's going to have a story.
Yeah. There's that one time I saw the guy at the urinal and he didn't want to sign my whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know, just like, you know, there are times you're just like, oh my God, everybody just leave me alone. You don't know what kind of day they're having.
Yep.
And they can't be on 100% of the time. I will say this, in my run-ins with people who are famous, only a handful of times have I ever been disappointed. Now, they don't jump for joy. Oh my God, you want to talk to me about what I do for a living? Or you want to say hi or get a picture. That doesn't normally happen. But rarely have I met somebody who was famous who acted a jerk. There have been a handful. Warren DeMartini of Rat was not very pleasant, and Bill Maher.
You will always remember the one, even though that might be the nicest person you've ever met in your life, and this was just not the day.
It was their off day. You know?
But you start talking about $50,000 or $1 million or $3 million, there's a whole different layer involved of, you know, like you heard, security guards and concussions.
And again, I'm not trying to downplay the record that Salvador Perez set yesterday. To him, it's extremely important. To baseball, it's kind of important. You know, most home runs in a season by a catcher. But it's not a Mark McGuire. It's not a Sammy Sosa home run ball. So it's not going to fetch $3.4 million right. at auction. So why not come up with a deal? The Royals would give you something.
If you've learned nothing from Heath's interview just now, the Mark McGwire ball, two balls away from the ball, was worth $50,000. And that was international news. This ball, while important, I don't want to put a number on it, but Scott, it's not going to be 50 grand.
No. It has more value to Salvador Perez
than yes. it does for this Yahoo, who might, what would you say, a couple grand online, maybe?
If it's the last one, probably a couple grand, yeah. I'm looking at the Royals' schedule to see how many more games they have left.
I believe
they got about 11 or 12 games left.
That the universe has a way of making things right. That's all I'm going to say. And you always do the right thing. Just do the right thing.
Karma, she's a bitch. She can be. Hey, we're going to take a quick break for the news. Then we've got the fourth and final hour. Tuesday edition of the Dana and Parks program coming up. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks. We'll see you on the other side of the news.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.